Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Malfunction Junction. This is Andrew, and I have my lovely girlfriend Madeline with me here today. Jay is unable to be here. Madeline, please say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Can you hear yourself just fine?
Yeah.
Cool. You're speaking a little far from the microphone, but we're fine. How's that?
Is that better?
I don't know. I can't hear.
Oh, right.
Anyway, so I had Madeline on today because, well, to be honest, Jay and I have been working like dogs lately. He has been over at the Kava Bar working tremendously hard with everything going on over there, and I have been working on the film Night Cook, where we had just finished production last week, and this week rather, and Madeline was the product's director of photography, and so I thought that today, in lieu of a episode with Jay and I talking about our normal stuff, we'd have an episode talking about Night Cook and how it went. And basically the way that I figured we'd do this is go with the frequently asked questions of the week that I received from people while we were working on this project. And I thought Madeline could add some good context in that, because she definitely was a tremendous help on the project. I don't think we could have done it without her. And so we'll get into that. Also, I do want to apologize for the late episode last week, and the solo episode this week might even be a late solo episode this week. Solo is a loose word here, but non-Jay episode. He is back. We're currently, to kind of add some context, Madeline and I are down at my parents' house. I won't give a location of where that is, but we're down at my parents' house, and just hanging out. It's been nice. We've been taking some time out in the country, and it's just been a good kind of over, you know, last the now that the film is over, at least the production and pre-production parts are over. It's nice to get into a vacation. Mm-hmm. I think you would agree, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Hanging out in one of the most beautiful parts of the state has been amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely. After working on set.
So we're going to go with the frequently asked questions. We'll ask each other these questions. Does that work for you?
Sure.
Cool. So I guess the first most frequently asked question was very simply, how did it go? So, Madeline, how did it go for you?
I think it went really well, actually. Everything that we had planned seemed to work out pretty smoothly. Even when certain obstacles or challenges came up, we seemed to work through them pretty well. And yeah, it was just fun working on set. It's been a few years for me since the last time I've been on a set, and I forgot how much I loved it and how energizing it is to just work collaboratively with people. And yeah, I think it went really well. I'm stoked on a lot of the shots, a lot of the footage, and I can't wait to see what it looks like. I still want to plan on looking at it while we're here, but yeah.
I think we will probably look at it within the next few days while we're here, but at the moment I am, and we may even look at it today. Today is the 28th. We're a little bit late. Today was supposed to be the day of posting. A little late on that. Sorry about that. Hopefully, we may still get it out today. But I would agree with you on all of those statements. It went well. It went very well. And I think one of the other questions we had was did you stick to your shot list or storyboards, or did you have to improvise on set? Kind of stick to them. But we definitely had to improvise on set. We had to think on the fly about a lot of stuff, because there was a lot of stuff based on like, what was in my head wasn't what we actually were dealt with in the location.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to scramble with kind of that. And I mean, that was the whole film. If I really had to be honest about how it went, like uncanny might be a right word, because it felt like every time that we had someone drop out, we would replace them with someone better, and every time that we had somebody you know, bring up something about it. We'd figure it out, and we'd figure it out with a better response. And every time someone donated $100, they donated $200.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we had more than enough than, well, we still need more. Please donate to the film. the GoFundMe will be in the bio. We were faced with enough to get the production done. We still need some for post, so we'll get that going shortly. But it just felt like everything was uncanny. Everything that happened felt like it happened correctly.
Yeah, it ended up working out. And I think, yeah, I agree. We weren't super married to the shot list, but it helped tremendously figuring out how we were just going to move throughout each day, especially for me, hopping on as DP literally 5 days before filming.
Very short notice. She was just going to do behind the scenes. And then immediately one day we had the assistant camera drop out, and then we realized that our director of photography that we had would be better suited as a sound person.
Mm-hmm.
And so she rose from behind the scenes to DP in about an hour.
Yeah, which is fine. I've been DP before on different films. But again, it's been 2 years since I've been on a set.
Right, yeah.
And typically I like to work on pre-production stuff months in advance. So only having 5 days to figure out what the movie was supposed to look like was incredibly challenging.
Well, thankfully you were working very closely with me, who had we needed you 100% on this project. Like, we wouldn't have, at the very least, I was telling people, it wouldn't have happened when it happened if it weren't for you. Like, mm-hmm. It would have at the very least been another month. Oh, sorry. At the very least been another month before we'd been able to go into production because of that, because of just the organization factor you brought. But I think it probably helped that I didn't write a great shot list, as we saw. But it was that I had a decent idea of what I wanted it to look like shot by shot. And we ended up using, it was mainly like, I mean, it was as if the writer of the script wrote the shot list, which is exactly what happened.
Exactly.
That is exactly what happened. I wrote the script and I wrote the shot list.
Yeah.
And it's like, it worked out.
Yeah, I mean,
it worked out in the end. It was much more, next time I will know some things. I think that was another question here, what you might do next time.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I'd do next time is make a better shot list, make a more cohesive shot list.
Yeah, you definitely wrote it as if we were watching it, like how you wanted it to look on screen.
Yeah. That was originally my plan was to write it like that and then go back and edit
Condense it.
But the thing is that, like, that was when, after I finished it, that was the day we switched Harrison to sound.
Yeah.
And so I was like, shit, like, okay, I have to figure out how to, and then we were having you as DP and you had him to do your own thing of it, so it was just like, okay, I guess I'll just, and then it was just too many cooks.
It was helpful though. The shot list was super helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad we had it, because I feel like if we didn't have it,
we would have been lost.
Yeah, way more stressed.
Yeah, but one of the other questions I got was, what is it like being director? Fun. But very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool being in charge. It's cool. It's cool having a bunch of people reporting to you for a bunch of shit, for everything about the thing. But at the same time, it's very like, that's a lot of pressure, and it took a lot of like, I was, you know, to be honest, to be straight honest, like when I could be, I was fucking high as a kite. Like, well. On weed, which everyone on this podcast knows that I smoke weed. I'm not supposed to drink alcohol, which I don't, but I do smoke weed daily, every day. Anyway, I was just smoking, and we'd had cigarettes on set, and which I don't usually smoke cigarettes, and
me either.
You know, we would have shout out, that's Kava for supplying a bunch of growlers of Kratom.
Oh yeah.
And should shout out Travis Wormwood, the writer of the story, for getting that Kratom. We will eventually get to shouting out everybody who helped on the film. We'll probably do that in the form of credits in the film, so that everyone feels like they are seen there, and it doesn't just get shouted down to me boring everybody on the podcast that's listening. It was shout out so-and-so, shout out so, you know, that would, that's not a great podcast, but we'll do it in the film. We'll do, have you in credits in the film. Another question we got was, who were the actors? The actors were a group of people, four people that I, Travis and I found, and we pulled them off the street. They were all homeless people. Anyway, no, that's not true. Those guys were the best. Those actors were, we found them. I posted a thing on Facebook,
a casting call
on Facebook, and got a huge response. And everybody was super excited about this. I think we got, I think we had like 20, between 20 and 30 people audition for these roles. And then I had another probably 10 that hit me up about it that I wasn't able, that we had already auditioned.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we had, had already like gone through the auditions by the time they hit me up. So, you know, these actors, they were, you know, they were, it wasn't a huge pool of people, but it was definitely like, these actors were picked from a pool of people that were, it was relatively competitive, and it was, yeah. They were good actors, and we thought that all of these actors fit our characters the best that we could find. One of which, the actor that plays the character Michael, we just found as, like, we were given a couple of different options for that character, and we really thought that he, the one we picked was like a, it was not the version that we thought we were going to pick, but it was a cooler version. It was like a, oh, this fits better somehow. Like, this isn't what I had in mind when I wrote this, but this fits better. And it was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The whole time. It was just like, oh, well, this guy's interested in this, and he's going to, like, I remember when we auditioned Michael, the guy for Michael, his name is James Muhammad. Shout out, James. I remember we had already kind of picked a guy for Michael, and we had said, like, this guy's going to have to, both Travis and I said, like, this guy's going to have to blow our socks off to, like, get this part.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in and did.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and blew our socks off. And so we were like, okay, well, here you go. You're absolutely, there you go. You did exactly what you needed to do. Yeah, it was, and then the actor that played Gary, Jonathan Herrera, shout out John, he was, I mean, couldn't have asked for more.
Yeah.
Out of that guy. I couldn't have asked for more of a respectful and genuine person to come and do that role. And it was very nice. It was a good time. We spent a lot of time with him, over the week. And, John, if you're ever listening to this, you're the man. Anyway, next thing, we had the other two actors, the two women actors. We had the Haley Chapman that played Stacy, and Allie Black that played Janet. And those, they also were tremendously supportive and just great sports about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, it was a joy working with all of them. I'll ask you this question. Mm-hmm. What was it like working with your partner?
It was fun.
Was it?
Yes. Yeah. When I initially hopped on, it was fun to just be a part of the process. I was first just doing BTS work, which in that role, I felt like I had a lot more freedom to create something for this project that felt a little bit more liberating. I wasn't confined by any strip boards, any shot lists. It was just making something pretty cool and documenting the process as we go along. And then,
which was pretty easy. I'm glad that we had you doing the DP because I think it probably was the best product that we could have gotten, that given the people and given everything, the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have preferred you had BTS just for your general stress levels.
Yeah, I think once I hopped on as DP, I was pretty stoked at first because I knew that it was going to be a pretty amazing film to work on, and I was excited to have my name attached to it as a DP. And shout out Harrison for being so flexible and willing to pretty much hand that role over to me.
Yeah.
Because he totally could have... Yeah, he objected totally to that.
Not done that.
Right.
He knew he was. Harrison was there to help the team, is what he said.
Yeah.
He did a great job of that.
Yeah.
Harrison Bergamot, check out his music.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
But then yeah. I think working on set, it was a little bit stressful at times just because our crew was so tiny. And
yep.
I was
filling a lot of roles.
I'm not a gaffer, but I was lighting up each setup. You're
great.
So that was
I will say
stressful.
thankfully the kitchen scenes were pretty well lit.
Oh
already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like we didn't, and they were lit like we wanted them to be.
Right.
So
right.
that like you didn't have to do that at those right. places, but right. at the motel and at the, Matt's studio.
Right.
Shout out Matt at SRS Studios in Denver. Let us use a studio for free just out of the grace of his love for art. Those places. Also, shout out Holiday Motel and fuck Lucky You Motel. that's honest. Those guys suck. That's a whole. I'll get into that little story. There was because there's. But unless you have something else to say here,
I mean, ultimately, I think it made us closer despite.
I think it did.
All of the.
Despite all the trouble.
Trouble, yeah.
We did have some arguments on set.
Yeah.
I think we kept it together for the most part, like...
In front of other people,
in front of
we
other
did.
People, but...
We did.
There was, yeah, I think for the most part. And then, yeah, it was tough. But getting into that story I was mentioning, this is when I thought of this question, I thought of this, which was the... What was the biggest logistical challenge you faced, and how did you overcome it? I think it was that Lucky You Motel.
Sure, and it wasn't even that bad, that challenge.
No,
because
it
we figured it out.
We figured
it you
out.
Figured it out.
I
quickly.
Figured it out. That would be me. Hold on, one second. Is it applause?
There
is
you
that
go.
What it is?
Yeah.
Good. That was for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I. What happened there was we had this deal with a motel.
Lucky You.
Yeah. That. I got in there, Madge got in there first and said, mm-hmm. like, you know, hey, we're here. And they tried to charge us $350. Our deal was for $250.
Yeah.
And that's not okay or fair or
right.
reasonable.
Right.
And so I went in there after I got there and started talking to them. I offered them $280.
Right.
Because that was already more than our deal.
Right.
Their whole discrepancy was that they thought we wanted a one bedroom, but we just said we wanted a two bedroom, which we had told them we wanted a two bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
They had just forgot to tell their people.
Mm-hmm.
That we wanted a two bedroom, and
yeah.
they thought they made that our problem,
yeah.
which is bad business.
Yeah,
and so I walked. I just said,
yeah.
"Fine, we'll take our money elsewhere." And
yeah.
You were so
I,
mad at
this
me.
Point. I was
so
pretty upset. Yeah, I was pretty upset.
Yeah, you were so mad at me, and I just walked out of there and took a right out of the parking lot, took a U turn, took another U turn, went to the parking lot of the motel next to Lucky You Motel. Told them what was going on. Shout out Dwight, the guy at the front desk there. That guy was a homie. He was literally just like, oh, well, fuck those guys. Here, like, I can get you $100 a night.
Yeah.
So we saved $50 on our budget
yeah.
just doing that. And it was just like, so shout out those guys at Holiday Motel. I would never stay there.
Never.
You shouldn't stay there either. But if you're ever in the area, stop and say hello. Just say, hey, we heard about you guys. Bye.
Right on.
It is, yeah, it's just it's yeah, I don't know. There was either I don't want to trash them. There was
there was
either they were great people there. They were really genuinely nice people there. There was either blood or semen on the wall at
or
one
both.
Or hand, like a handprint of either blood or semen or both on the wall,
mm-hmm.
and that's not good.
It was next to a chair that was next to a bed, so we all just thought it was the cuck chair.
Yes, it was just, they had a cuck chair.
Intense
next to the
cuck
bed.
Session.
There was a lot of intense cucking going on in that room. Not really my personal type of thing. But yeah, if that's you, then if you're into cucking, then maybe Lucky You then Holiday Motel might be the place for you. But we can pause. All right, everybody. Sorry about that. We're back. A little. Technical difficulties, technically. We were talking about logistical issues that we overcame. And that was mainly the main part of it. The next question we'll get on to here is, what was your first thought when we wrapped?
Instant relief.
Instant relief, huh?
Instant relief.
I don't know if that's how it was for me.
And I, like, couldn't believe that we were done.
Yeah, I kind of
like, are you
that.
Sure?
I kind of feel that where I was like, that was my first thought was, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Like, and that was, I think, everybody's first thought was like, really? Because we all had thought, like, I had warned everybody, we're going to be here till 3 a.m.
Literally. And, literally. That was the plan.
But then, like, then we had all those logistical issues. I guess that was the logistical issue that we, was those last day, like, surprise notifications from the kitchen.
Just working in the kitchen was a logistical
issue. Working in the kitchen was a logistical
issue.
Dude, because we worked in a commissary kitchen. Shout out Foothills Commissary Kitchen and Gary from there.
Yeah, they're cool.
They were great. They were great and really nice to us.
The traffic was insane, though.
It was just a lot of people
there. A lot of people.
And got in the way of us. Mm-hmm. And they were very nice about it, for most of them. Almost, I would say 99% of them were very nice about it. There was the one guy, red shirt guy, big red shirt guy. That guy sucked. Anyway, we won't get into that guy. Fuck that guy. but, yeah, I wasn't fully convinced that we were done. When we finished, when we were announced, like when we were like, dude, I think we're done. Because we had like a bunch more looking like we had it planned, but it really was able to be solved in just a couple of long takes.
Mm-hmm.
And long takes from different angles, mm-hmm. and we were fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got everything. I mean, obviously, we still got to check the footage. I think we got everything, though.
I think we did too.
I think we did. And the only thing I can think of we may have to get is some ADR.
Yeah.
Audio, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my first thought, was just, I don't believe you. Yeah. But we were. That was nice. Was there a day on set that was particularly hard or rewarding?
I think the first day was kind of hard, just because we were working at the Kava Bar. And
yeah,
there were so many people that we knew. And there was weird entanglements with some of the folks who were working on set with us, with some of the customers at the Kava Bar. And there was just drama.
A lot of drama.
A lot of drama in the background, and we're just trying to work through that. And
I think we did great.
We did great. Yeah. We definitely did, but I think that was just pretty distracting. And it was also everyone's first day on set, so we were just kind of finding our rhythm and our flow.
Right.
So
and I think we got it by the end of that, and then we stuck into it the next day, and I think we got pretty good the next day.
Yeah.
Given that the next day was our longest day, I believe. Or was it the next day after that? One of those 2 days, the second or third day.
I think
the
third day was the longest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I mean, particularly hard or rewarding. All of them were hard.
Yeah.
All of them were hard. But I think particularly hard, you're right, that first day. And then also the fourth day. Which was our shortest day, but mm-hmm. I was just so exhausted,
mm-hmm.
and it was very difficult to get that done. But it was all, by the end of it, it was all very rewarding. It felt great to get done. It felt great to work on a project of that caliber, not caliber, but you know, size.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the biggest project I'd worked on so far, and first project out of college, and first project for the company, and. So it was a big deal for me and for everybody, I think, involved. It felt that it was a big deal for them. Were you able to stay close to your original schedule?
I think so.
I think we were.
I think so.
We were, tremendously, actually. I think the way I was telling people about the fourth day, I said if we've had 4 days of recording,
mm-hmm.
And you consider that each day is 100%, mm-hmm. We're at 385%, and we ended up getting to 500% on day five.
By the end of it, yeah.
We got everything we needed. It just was hard, and we were able to finish it, and I think we did. We were pretty close to our original schedule.
Yeah, that third day was the only day where we had to pivot and not stick to schedule.
Right.
Because of all of the people in the kitchen and James's schedule. And But we ended up getting everything. By the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was surprising. And
I thought we were going to have to get book pickup days with everyone.
I thought we were going to be coming home from this vacation and immediately going into a next production.
I'm
glad that we're not doing that. Where did you spend the most money, and was it worth it? Given that we did take this based on donations, I do feel obligated to answer this question a little bit. The most mm-hmm. money was spent on the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And the food for food. And the situation as a whole for the actors.
Yeah.
Like we probably spent close to $2,000 on just that, which was probably at the from what we had total, probably half of our budget.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you everybody again that donated. It was tremendous that, mm-hmm. that we had that amount of help from it, and we could still use more. But yeah, we need to go into post-production now, and that's not cheap. So we're gonna get everybody out before we really ask for another round of donations. We're gonna get a trailer out and make sure that everyone knows what they're kind of looking at.
Definitely.
And see that, you know, see that everyone knows what they're kind of putting their money towards, that it's something worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite moment of the whole production? Or do you have one? I think mine was those shots that we got with the van. At least in terms of, like, I don't know why, I don't have a particular reason for that, but that day that we went out and we went up to Jackass Hill and got those shots of the van, it was just fun. It was just a fun time being out there with everybody. It was a nice day. It was really pretty out there. We got a bunch of cool shots. Everybody was there. Everybody was, like, happy to be there, it seemed like. And, like, or everybody that was, like, part of the crew was there. And then we had John with us. And I thought, and those shots all turned out really good. And, like, I think that was probably it. Or that, or the schooling the Lucky You people. One or the other. Those were the two of my favorite moments on set. How about you?
I really just enjoyed all of the break, like the cigarette breaks with everyone.
Cigarette breaks were nice.
Those were nice.
Just like the...
'Cause I felt like I was getting closer to everyone there, like Travis, Harrison.
Right,
just like getting close to them as friends and not just like coworkers, essentially.
Yes.
Teammates.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that was nice.
And then second to last question here. Was there a moment, sorry, where you felt particularly proud of yourself or of your team? I know for myself, there were plenty of moments where I felt proud of the team. Everybody really, like, especially given the fact that it was just, everyone was on a deferred budget or a deferred payment schedule. And it was just like, the fact that everybody came through and did as hard of work as they did, especially Lee. Shout the fuck out Lee Small, dude. Holy shit, man.
Fucking
lovely. You're the fucking man. You have a job anytime you ever want it in the future with us. Because, like, this guy, I don't even know what to say.
I think I would have had a legit mental breakdown.
I think it's this one right here. Is that it? Applause?
No, that was the beedoo.
Nope. We want this one. That one.
Yay, Lee.
Yes.
I think I would have had a legit mental breakdown.
Yeah.
If I didn't have Lee there to support me.
I think you're right. Because he was willing, no questions asked, was willing to do anything. And that was incredibly helpful.
Yes, he was the best.
So very proud of Lee and the way he worked. I'm very proud of you and the way you worked. I'm very proud of you and the way that you were able to kind of work through your issues that you were having with me and with everybody else and with the whole situation. And, you know, now we're sitting here on vacation and you're relaxing and we're talking about it on a podcast and it'll be fine. It was definitely, I'm proud of you for working through that. It was hard.
Thank you. I'm really proud of you too. And like I said, I'm not a gaffer, so I think I was always especially proud of myself whenever I was able to light a scene in a way that was interesting and stylistic. Yeah. And
you did a lot of those. There were a lot of those.
Every time I got something like on point, I was so stoked.
And the fog machine was pretty cool when we used it.
Yeah, for haze.
We didn't use it for every scene, but we did use it for that we should have. But it was there for a lot of scenes, and it was very helpful to have. It made some scenes cool.
Yes.
And I think shout out you, and shout out I think it was Harrison also that said that would be a good idea.
Yeah, it was.
So yeah. And then the last question here: how are you feeling about the film now that it's in post or done? Not done, but in post. 2/3 done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel really good that we're done filming. I so badly want to look at the footage and make some dailies and stitch together a trailer so that we can see what the vibe is. And yeah, I'm really proud of the work we've done so far. And
I agree.
I'm excited too.
I am too. I don't know what's going to happen with this, but just the way that everything has been working out with it to make it happen at all, and as smoothly as it went, I do have a good feeling about this. And I do, I don't know how I feel about it at the moment, having not seen any of the footage, but I do feel good in my mind knowing that we, how we finished it and how we were able to get everything done and how hard everyone worked on it. So I do feel, and how talented the people we had working on it were.
Yes.
So I have the utmost, confidence in this. Yeah. I think this is going to be great.
Me too.
Well, yeah, that's really all for the, we had planned for the film review part of it. We're going to have one little short, song of the week, that we go into in our normal episodes, and we just, I just like to do this every week, name a song that has been, I've been playing a lot lately. So, why don't you go ahead and start? You had yours as the...
Yeah, mine is a song by Emily Nenny. It's called Hell of a Woman. And it's just been my most recent jam that I've been playing on repeat. It makes me feel like the main character in my life. And yeah, you guys should check her out. She's pretty good. She's going to be in Denver August 6th.
Nice.
I'm hoping to, hoping we can go see her.
We'll still be there by that point.
Yeah.
At least in terms
That'd
of
be
like...
Fun.
For that, before we go on that trip,
I love her music. It's so
she's
good.
Great.
Yeah, I really love her.
Mine, which was we just saw these guys this week at Red Rocks, and it was a hell of a show. At least that set was the six song set that Rattlesnake Milk played was, and you guys have heard me mention Rattlesnake Milk on here. 38 Special by Rattlesnake Milk is a hell of a song.
That's a good
Those
one.
Guys are a hell of a band. That guy Lou Lewis, the headliner, the head man, front man for that band is. Impressive motherfucker in terms of his, I mean, the dude was out there jamming on a $20 Fender with no pick, hitting every fucking jam, and the other dudes were just like weird but like
so
sick.
Cool,
so cool, dude.
Yeah,
the guy with the bassist with the big moose belt buckle, awesome. But yeah, check out Rattlesnake Milk, they're the shit. And that's really all we got. Shout out you guys for listening this far, hopefully. yeah, reach out to us. Follow us on Instagram at Malfunction Junction Podcast. And reach out to us on email at malfunctionjunctionpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, that's really all we got. We'll see you next time. Hopefully this next time. I imagine next time will be myself and Jay. But we may also have some other fill-in podcasts about the film. I am going to be doing one with Travis Wormwood, the head front man of, or I should say co-host rather, the co-host of Pumpkin Hill Radio, and or host, I don't know. I think it's whatever. They're both co-hosts, right? That would be it?
They're both the host, so,
so
yes,
co-host. So yeah, so he's co-host of Pumpkin Hill Radio, and who we made the film for. And we're going to have a discussion with him in the coming weeks, so stay tuned for that. We're also going to be in the next, I think it's a week from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow, I have that interview with Charlie White, who is a local musician, local Boulder, Denver musician, who's a friend of mine, and we're going to be interviewing him about his journey with addiction. So stay tuned for that as well. We've got a lot of cool stuff coming along with Malfunction Junction and with Crucible Media. So check us out. We'll leave it at that. Everybody have a good week. Peace.